So, listen to this video clip about Elizabeth.
Well, you know, spring chicken. That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe that? Maybe she just didn't believe me, but I don't hold it against her. She'd been a tad bit cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just didn't realize what a miracle this was for me. I mean, Zachariah and I had been trying to have a child of our own our whole lives. By the time most of my hair had turned gray and Zachariah's had turned loose, we had given up hope. But nothing is impossible for God. He seems to delight in making life out of barren places. And as if that wasn't enough, the angel who brought us this unbelievable news had even more to say. This child, our son, would be used by God to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. This was all too much of a gift to be real. And then I thought, well, how am I going to train this child for a job like that? God had those details covered too. And it keeps getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. And no sooner had she said hello than this unborn son jumped and flipped inside of me. Right then, God just opened my eyes so that I could clearly see that this young girl standing in my home was also with child, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. About 9 months later, we got the news from Bethlehem. And I looked over at Zachariah holding our very own miracle baby. I had one of those God moments. You know, when you just realize, you say, God just had different plans. He had brought us life in barren places. He hadn't forgotten about us. And he would never leave us alone again.
I really like this phrase she used, God is bringing life out of barren places. That's kind of where we want to head today. This story is about a woman and a man who couldn't have kids. And so as we go through this, I want to say to you that I am not demeaning anything that any person has ever had to suffer related to not having kids. I know that that's a very emotional thing in our culture. It affects people. It's hurtful. And people without kids or without grandkids, they can understand a lot of what Zachariah and Elizabeth were going through. But in the culture of the day, for them, it was a whole lot worse. It was a disgrace. It was shameful not to have kids. So we put that in the context of sin. So they would say, well, there's sin in their life. No, there was no sin in the lives of these individuals. These people just, it was the culture that said you had to have kids so that you could carry on the name. And now you look at this woman who is beyond childbearing ages, and you see her having lived her entire life without children. And now she's at the age she ought to have grandkids. And they get this news. So I want to talk with you a little bit about this idea of barrenness. And barrenness is not just the idea of not having children, although that's part of it, okay? That's the primary term. But barrenness can also have the idea that we are dry and we're thirsty. So think of barren land in terms of land that just will not produce anything. it's either too dry or it's bad land or whatever it is, and it's just desolate. There's nothing there. Nothing grows on barren land. Or when you are parched and you're thirsty and you need something to drink and you just don't have it. Or there's this idea that there's a lack of joy in life. Life just doesn't bring anything to you anymore. I don't know where you're at this Christmas season. Of course, it's snowy outside, and we're not able to get out, at least to go to church. There'll be plenty of people out this afternoon. But you think about it, and barrenness is an emotional state in which we lose focus and we lose hope. And we lose this idea that God really cares and that God is even close to me. And I think to myself, I think there's plenty of people in our world today that have lost hope. Could be that you lost someone this last year and life is just not the same. It's never going to be the same. Or you've lost somebody a long time ago. Or, all kinds of emotional things come into the Christmas season, and we all approach it differently. But barrenness is about that idea that we are dry, and it doesn't work. Here we go. Try that. That we're dry and that we're parched. We'll let it go. But the thing I want to share with you this morning is this idea that barrenness is not about sin. Okay? Barrenness is not about sin. Look at what it says about these two individuals who were barren. And as you're thinking about them, I want you to think about a couple other individuals. I want you to go back in the Old Testament to Abraham. And Abraham had a wife whose name was Sarah. And what do we know about Sarah? That she was without child also. To her old age, ages of 99. Think about Isaac's bride, whose name was Rebekah. Rebekah was barren, it says in Genesis 26. And Jacob's second wife, or first wife, whichever way you want to count it, Rachel, was also without children until God opened her womb. And so, of the first three generations of God's chosen people, the first three mothers that brought life to all the Hebrew people were barren, except that God did a miracle. And now we come to his son coming, and look at what it says here. They were both righteous in God's sight, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of God, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. God had not opened Elizabeth's womb for her entire life. Not a young woman. Not a woman in childbearing age. She went all the way through that. And you would believe, we would know that she's been praying for a child her entire life. And so has Zechariah. But it's not about sin. It's not about sin with these people. But barrenness, when we think about barrenness in the scope of emotional struggles that we have, can be caused sometimes by sin. Look at what this says in Proverbs, that godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin can cause disgrace and emotional scarring inside of people. This is what it says in Psalm 66. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would the Lord would not have listened. Which says to me that if I do have sin in my life and I keep sin in my life and I just keep that pet sin around all the time, it says that God's not going to listen. He says, well, have it your way. So sin can be the cause of emotional barrenness in our life. But for these people, it was not a cause of barrenness. And it doesn't always have to be a cause for our barrenness. Sin doesn't. Sin can be, but it's not necessarily necessary for barrenness or a life of joylessness to happen. There are many times in the life of every Christian where we have a time where there is there's a desert time in our lives where we just, we do all the things we know we're supposed to do, and we still just don't have any joy. There's just, it's just dry. Well, I think that Zechariah and Elizabeth would count on that. I imagine their spiritual life was a little dry at times. And remember what it says? It says they did whatever was necessary the Lord had asked them to do. They were righteous in God's eyes, no matter if they liked it or they didn't like what was going on in their life. They were not happy about not having kids. Their line was going to stop if they didn't have kids. There were no grandkids to do. And so when this news come to them, this is what we know about what God does. God brings purpose and hope to life. That's his forte. That's what he does best, is he brings hope to life. Here's what the angel said. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. For any person who suffers with emotional joylessness in this period of time, or is struggling with just life in general because of the loss of something, this is what it says. God has heard your prayer. He hears your prayer. He may answer your prayer out of your timetable, but he will always hear your prayer." It had been a lifetime for these people, but God had heard their prayer. "Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you would call his name John." That should have been a great celebration for Zechariah at this point. "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord." Had you been Zechariah, listening to this statement of this angel, you would have one of two choices. One of you celebrate, and the other one would say, "Yeah, right. It's been a long time. I've been praying this prayer." The angel goes on, says he shouldn't touch wine or alcohol. He'd be filled with the Spirit of God before his birth. Means that he was going to be a special man from his very conception on. Special for a special purpose. And we see that purpose as he goes on. He says he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. If you were Zechariah and you heard these things and you knew that you had been righteous your entire life, you were a priest before God, and you were leading people to come back to the Lord, this would have been a praise the Lord. Wow, look what God's going to do. But it had been a long time since they had had a word from the Lord. 400 years. It says he will be a man in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah had to come before the Messiah would come. And here he says he will be in the power and the spirit of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's the prophecy of the Old Testament. And this is what God did. This is so cool. Zechariah went home, and even at their old age, they got it on when he got home. And she became pregnant. Now, that only happens one way. You all know that, okay? And God's not ashamed of it, okay? So let's just say it the way it is, okay? Soon afterward, she became pregnant, and she went into seclusion for 5 months. You know, God brings life and purpose in barren places. This is the statement that Zechariah makes after John has been born. In the 77th verse, he says, "You will tell his people how to find salvation." He's talking about John. "And forgiveness of their sins, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who are sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide us to a path of peace." This is a statement about John from his father after he had spent 9 months figuring out what he had said wrong at the beginning and corrected it throughout these 9 months, to see the hope that God was bringing to them. Now, you have to remember also that even in that hope, They were bound for some difficult times down the road. John was not exactly what we would call the most popular kid in the crowd. Okay? He was set aside, and he probably paid for it. But that was what God had done. He had brought purpose out of life. And he brings life from barren places. This is what Elizabeth says at the end. How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. You see, sometimes we need to have the one who gives life and light touch our lives. And we need to pray for that. We need to ask God to do that. But sometimes it's in his timetable. Sometimes it happens when we would like it to do, and sometimes it doesn't happen for a lifetime. And like Zechariah and Elizabeth, we need to remember that God does bring life out of barren places. Times when we don't know how it's going to happen, we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know this, that God promises to bring life to barrenness, to give life, to bring hope, to bring purpose. It is the God that we serve. When you think about the ladies that I talked about early on, you think about Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, and then you all go on to talk about Hannah, and then you see Elizabeth, and then you see Mary, and you see how God, in the line of Jesus Christ, has put all these women into this line who were very significant, okay, but also saw the miracle of God in bringing life when it didn't look like life could ever come. So if you're in a position where you're saying to yourself, you know, God, I don't know if God really knows, if he remembers, if he even cares, does God even know what I'm going through? And I would have to say to you, he knows exactly what you're going through. And he wants to give life and hope to you. Place your trust in him, because he's the one who brings life out of barrenness. Let's pray together before we come to the Lord's table. Father God, this is a simple story, but it's not a simple solution to the story. Lord, your miracle of life in a dead womb is never simple. It's the power of God demonstrated in our world. Not only was Jesus a miraculous baby, but John was a miraculous baby. And if you go back farther than that, Isaac was a miraculous baby. Lord, you are the one who specializes in the miraculous, bringing life to your people. Father, there may be people that we know that need to know about you, and we've given up hope about them. Father, we're not sure they're ever going to come to faith in Christ or ever walk away from whatever it is they're involved in. Father, I pray right now. I pray for those people. I pray that you, by your miraculous power, would bring life to them through faith in Jesus Christ. Open their eyes that they may see. Turn their hearts back to you. Father God, we ask that you would allow us to be your instruments in that process. And Father, we thank you for this table that we're coming to this morning. A table that is the miracle of God that brings life to us. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here at this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the